Hello and welcome to the March Madness edition of Sports Report Podcast. I'm Billy.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm Alejandro.
Today we're going to be talking about, obviously, March Madness, some more stuff, and we're going to get into some brackets right now. We're going to share our own brackets. I'm sure that everybody's brackets right now are doing kind of bad, besides for Aiden's. Aiden's is doing pretty well.
Heck yeah.
Yes.
All right, who wants to go first?
I'm going to share mine. And so we went through the first round today. Right now, the second round's happening. Well, the second round of games in the first round, the round of 64. So my bracket, for the final four, I guess we can share those first.
Uh-huh.
I said Duke against Texas Tech and then Villanova against North Carolina. And then I had Duke being North Carolina 76-73. And now my bracket already got busted, which kind of sucks. Louisville lost the first game, and I picked them as well as many other people.
Same.
And Minnesota won that. Some other stuff that I got wrong. What else? I got Syracuse wrong against Baylor. Vermont against Florida State wrong. I won Vermont because I hate FSU. That was a biased opinion, but that was a bad move. I picked Arizona State over Buffalo. Didn't really know how Buffalo was doing and all that, so I picked them. I picked Nevada over Florida, which Nevada's a 7 seed and Florida's a 10 seed, so it makes sense. But I believe it was Caleb Martin, one of the Martin brothers on Nevada. He was horrible, and he shot absolutely horrible. Cody was good, but Caleb was bad. You got him confused because they look the same. And they have the same, like, their numbers
They have the
are
same
close.
Haircut. Their numbers are one apart.
Yeah.
And they look exactly the same.
And they make it really hard to tell apart. Today, Kansas State lost to UC Irvine. I picked that wrong. Iowa beat Cincinnati. Got that wrong.
Wisconsin lost to Oregon. I got that wrong.
Mm. Seton Hall lost to Wofford. I got that wrong. Didn't know how good they were. Right now, Washington's on track to beat Utah State, so I'm good there. And Houston is on track to beat Georgia State, which I'm good there.
Did you say Utah's on track to beat Washington State?
No. Okay. I said...
I heard you wrong. My bad.
Washington is on track to beat Utah State.
All right. I just misheard you. That's my bad.
Other way around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in my bracket so far, I got the entire West right. The Midwest is all right so far. The only region where I have got things wrong is the South. I had Ole Miss beating Oklahoma. That did not happen. I had Wisconsin beating Oregon. That really didn't happen. And I had Kansas State beating UC Irvine, as well as Cincinnati beating Iowa.
Which I'm sure almost everybody did with UC Irvine. I didn't even know that was a college.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, so my final four, I have Duke versus Texas Tech and Tennessee versus North Carolina, and then Duke versus Tennessee in the championship with Duke winning 81-79.
Alejandro, what you got?
Okay, so I have in the East, I have Duke beating North Dakota, which they're doing right now. I had Maryland beating Belmont. I had LSU beating Yale. That was a tighter game than I thought it would be.
Same.
Louisville let me down, losing to Minnesota.
Mm.
I did get Michigan State beating Bradley. Gonzaga easily took down, won their game. Syracuse let me down to Baylor.
Mm.
I predicted Murray State upsetting Marquette. I got Florida State. I got Buffalo. I got Texas Tech. I got Florida. I got Michigan. And then in the South, I got Virginia. I got Oklahoma. Wisconsin disappointed me, and they lost to Oregon. Kansas State got upset by UC Irvine. I got Villanova, Purdue, Iowa beat Cincinnati, which screwed me up. And Tennessee won against Colgate. And in the Midwest, I have Washington beating Utah, which they're doing so far. I had Auburn. I had Kansas. I have Houston beating Georgia, which they're doing so far. I had Seton Hall beating Wofford, but they couldn't do that. And I had Kentucky being there when they win their game.
Abilene Christian. I think they played. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They beat them 79-44, which is pretty bad.
Yeah, I watched that game. It was pretty one-sided.
You did?
Yep.
I didn't even bother on that one. How far do all you guys have Murray State going? They did really well.
I have Murray State
I have them losing to Florida State.
I have them losing to Florida State as well, but I don't.
I just couldn't see John Morant carrying them that far. Against Florida State.
After seeing how much Florida State kind of struggled, I think I'm leaning towards Murray State, which is not the team I picked, so I'm a bit worried.
Yeah.
But I have multiple brackets to depend on, so we're looking all right.
Yeah, I got Murray State going to the Sweet 16, so. I had them originally being Vermont, but now they're on Florida State. I still think they're going to win that. Also, I think Murray State, yeah. They look really good. Especially, I watched the whole entire game against Marquette. They beat them by 19,
yeah,
something like that. Ja Morant's not the only good player on that. They have a ton of good scorers.
Their centers are pretty good with shot blocker.
Yeah, and they have good three-point shooters, outside shooters. Like, Morant having all those assists is basically, like, his passes are amazing. He spaces the floor really well, gets people away from the other players on the team, and those players can hit threes. So, like, a lot of his passes were flashy passes, like opening up the lanes on the outside, so the corners, and he just dished out to the corner and they'd hit an easy three. So they had a lot of good playmakers and scorers besides from Morant, which I was surprised about. They look like real deal.
Also, my final four was Duke versus Gonzaga and Tennessee versus North Carolina, with Duke beating North Carolina 75-70.
Yeah. I think Duke North Carolina is kind of the favorite pick of this year.
Yeah.
A lot of people have Duke, especially.
And going into halftime, Duke and North Dakota State were actually kind of close, but they are really running away from it.
They were only beaten by four.
They were running away with it now in the second half. They're up by almost 30. And Mississippi State versus Liberty, that second half just started. Mississippi State up 2. Kind of nervous about that. But
who do you have winning?
I have Mississippi State.
Same.
I do too.
Yeah.
I did the one based off seeding.
I haven't done a lot of research on
this year. So. The seeding is kind of misleading this year for anyone that doesn't know what they're looking at. I could easily see Houston being seeded 2 over Kentucky this year because they have been really dominant. Kentucky, obviously, they've been a dominant force in the NCAA tournament. Year in and year out, but Houston has a very controlling and dominant team that is very well-rounded this season.
Yeah, I think Marquette was overseeded too. They got
Murray State was also underseeded.
Who was it? Marcus Howard?
Is that Marcus Howard?
That's the guy.
Had a,
yeah. He's good, but he's like their only good player from what I saw. They don't really have anything else.
He's also not the best defensively and can't do much besides scoring.
Yeah, and when he was trying to make shots in that game when they were down against Murray State, he just put them up, and they didn't go at all. He was rushing everything.
Yeah.
Wasn't taking time, and he wasn't taking good shots because they were down so much. So I kind of want to talk about how good Ja Morant was yesterday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
In that game.
17 points, 16 assists, and 11 rebounds.
Yeah. 8 assists in the first half.
The only concerning thing was like 8 turnovers.
He had 8 turnovers?
Something like that.
But I'm sure he played just about the whole game, and he was surrounded by 3 other players who scored in double digits as well.
That's what I mean. They have so much good players right now.
The entire starting lineup, except for one player scored double digits, and the player who didn't score double digits had 9 points.
You have to think that those players, too, those draft. I don't even know if they're in –
No, for the draft stock, but
they just work so well together.
They should be like some of these players that I've been looking at. They should be at least a second round projection. They'll get boosted up now.
I would understand Ja Morant even going number one over Zion Williamson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I know Zion is the big hype and everyone loves him. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but
and Morant can play with a team that's. You know, they have.
It depends on who gets the first pick.
Morant has showed that he will be able to shine on a team, whether or not they have plenty of talent surrounding him.
And it makes his teammates better,
which is probably what the Knicks would want, seeing that's what they would.
They have way too many point guards, so
they do have
Dennis Smith. They have Nilakina. They have.
I feel like they're gonna move on from Nilakina.
What?
They're gonna move on from Nilakina.
They definitely are.
I can't say his name right.
I don't think Nilakina.
Kilo.
It's Nilakina.
Yeah, that some French name. That's that's what he is.
Yeah, John Morant had 7 turnovers.
7?
Yep. He also had 7 in his last 2 games.
Yeah, his triple-double was the first triple-double in, I think, tournament history.
And no,
not in history, since Draymond in 2012.
Yep.
And he also joins Shaquille O'Neal doing that, and Dwayne Wade, I believe.
Really showing a well-rounded promise there for him, and definitely boosting his draft stock.
Yeah, I think it's very possible that he can go number one now. People got to look at him at number one now, like, obviously, after all these stats and stuff. He can compete just with Zion, and I think that he might even have a higher ceiling than Zion. I know that him coming from a smaller school scares people and things like that, but when you go up against guys like Marquette, like, that's a good team. That's a good team. It's a good level program.
People from small schools also have been disappointed, like Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
Came out of small schools, and they entered Paul George, and they did just fine.
Mm. So I think NBA scouts really shouldn't be scared of Ja Morant. I think they should kind of look at him as the top prospect, possibly him and Zion. I think that kind of Ja Morant emerging, having these games, or pushing Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett down the draft board.
Mm-hmm.
It's Morant and Zion, and Zion's not the clear favorite for number
Cam
one
Reddish
anymore.
Cam Reddish keeps on sliding because he just did not step up.
He's too inconsistent.
Yeah, and he didn't step up in Zion's absence.
I think the smartest thing for Cam Reddish would be to stay at Duke one more year, just so he can prove himself that he can work on his own without two other superstars to help.
And he's in a weaker draft class.
Yes.
That'd be interesting.
He could go number one, too, if that happens, because you have Zion and RJ off the board, Ja. And I haven't looked into the 2020 draft class that much, but he would have a possibility of going number one. You got Wiseman.
I feel like that, yeah. Like
that, guys like that, but
yeah,
it's still possible, depending on whoever has the first pick in the 2020 draft, which obviously we don't know yet.
Probably still the Suns.
The Suns? I mean, they got Jimmer Fredette. We're going to talk about that later. But they have Jimmer Fredette on 2-year contract, so that's fun. All right, so let's move on to Belmont versus Maryland. So that was a 79-77 win for Maryland. Belmont, 11 seed. Not many people have heard of them, but they are a pretty good team.
They're from the same conference as Murray State. Yeah.
Yeah, they were the
Ohio Valley.
Yeah, Ohio Valley Conference. And their best player is Dylan W.
Wilder. He's 6'8", senior, shooting guard. In yesterday's game, he put up 35 points, which is amazing for a college game. 11 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 11 for 23, and most of his points came from 3-point, where he was 50%, 7 for 14. And that's in a loss. So this guy kind of carried Dylan Wilder.
He's done that all season. When they played in the Ohio Valley Conference, their last game, mm-hmm. that was so hyped, that's a big reason why, because him and Ja Morant are very good players.
Yeah, before sitting down and actually watching this game, I never heard of Dylan Wilder. And when they were talking about him, when he was playing, he would just pull up and he'd make it. He was the opposite of the brown guy from Nevada. Caleb Martin, not Brown. Caleb Martin. So, yeah. So,
he's going to put us out of business.
Yeah. So, yeah. Dylan Wilder, he's a pretty good player, I think. I don't know if he's in
this
any
really
draft
helped. Yeah, this really helped his draft stock, because he was criticized for not stepping up in big games before.
Yeah,
like in the game against Murray State, he didn't play very well.
Yeah, he could have very easily won against Maryland, but you know, the rest of his Belmont teammates, I think, kind of held him back from winning that one. So Dylan Wilder, pretty good player. Minnesota Louisville. So I watched a little bit of that one. What do you guys think?
I didn't really watch any of that, but no. Minnesota.
I enjoyed that game. Everyone I was around at the time had picked Louisville to win that game. I had picked Minnesota.
I picked Louisville.
Yeah, I picked Louisville.
I just had a gut feeling that Louisville was not. I just didn't believe in them, so I picked Minnesota. It paid off, and.
They did have one guy on them on their team that was pretty good. Don't know his name, but he was a pretty good player. A lot of these teams, like the lower seeds, have this one good player that's should be on draft boards, I think. Really, they should. And then we got Kansas versus Northeastern, which was A horrible loss for Northeastern. 87-53, kind of expected.
I mean, no one really expected them to do much in the tournament.
Yeah, Northeastern. Everybody was kind
of... Not a basketball school.
Yeah, they're not. So they got destroyed.
They are a good school, but their basketball is not well known.
Yeah.
At least they're Division
I. And there's...
That's all they can say.
Wisconsin... So that was this was today. Wisconsin lost to Oregon. Wisconsin at the end of the game.
I think they missed like eight straight threes.
Yeah.
And it was the back of the rim every single time.
Shattered the TV, so.
I was very upset with the result of that game because it's been a rough day for me and my brackets. I had a perfect bracket going into the day. Was feeling good.
Story time with Aiden.
And then I've already got four games wrong today. Thanks. Out of like six that have played today that have finished so far.
You started off really well.
I started off with a perfect bracket, and after that. Today just went downhill. I got four picks wrong out of the six picks I have made that have finished so far. But it's looking to go back up on an uphill trend because I have, I think, three teams playing right now that look like they will win. And I'm pretty positive that they're going to win. And then one team that is in a very close game, which is Mississippi State versus Liberty, which is... I don't know. It seems like it's a good game. I'm not watching it, but it has potential to be interesting.
So, yeah, that Wisconsin-Oregon game, Wisconsin lost pretty bad. And Oregon, they were just making a ton of shots. And
they ran away with it in the last close. 8 minutes of the game.
It was a really close game. And then
with 10 minutes left in the second half, Wisconsin had the lead. And then Oregon just ran away with it and started hitting almost every shot. As well as getting all their rebounds.
They were shooting threes like Ben Simmons out there.
Yeah, they were. There was bricks everywhere. Just total bricks. Not what you'd see from a 5 seed, but it happened.
Not what you expected from a 5 seed. Definitely upsetting for a decent amount of people who most likely would have picked Wisconsin to win that game.
More upsetting was the Kansas State loss to UC Irvine.
Yeah, that was very disappointing for me.
I had them going to the Sweet 16, so...
I had them going one round. Every single loss I've had them...
I had Kansas State winning in... I mean, losing in the next round, so that is okay. But my main issue is Wisconsin, I had getting into the Sweet 16, which is a little problematic for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we're all right. And I'm kind of questioning... the bracket that I'm in right now because I have four games that I've got wrong and it says I have 100% right. I mean, I like them giving me I like the boost, but the nice little confidence boost there, but it's not realistic. Their percentages have really been off recently. Like, it hasn't made much sense to me. But you know what? It is what it is.
ESPN beat ESPN.
Yeah, Siren Hump's an update soon.
So, another game, Wofford beating Seton Hall, 84-68. That one was rough for a lot of people. A lot of people know Seton Hall, and not a lot of people know Wofford.
Wofford. Yeah.
Wofford.
I had Wofford winning it, you know. Of course, it happened in the first day, so it went well.
I didn't know Wofford
and then
was
it,
so good.
It's going downhill.
They have this guy named Fletcher McGee, which is the
most generic
non-basketball player name I've ever heard in my life. That's like that's a baseball player. That is not.
He looks the part too. He looks like a 2K player.
So, but this guy can ball. Actually, he got the record for most 3-pointers in a career in NCAA history with 505.
Yeah, he's also the definition of shooter shoot because he got no rebounds and no
won
assists.
That in Seton Hall game.
He literally just got
pulled up every time.
He was I didn't get to see all of it, but
I saw the game. Yeah, he was off screens. He was really good off screens. He got like this 4-point play. He's a 90% free throw shooter. He's a really good shooter.
Basically. So you think he's gonna go in the draft?
I saw one this morning. I'm going 60th, just because he's a senior.
60th.
Yeah, I feel like he should go higher because he's a really good shooter and he would fit into like any game plan in the NBA.
Yeah. I think he would do pretty good if you have like a good passer in there, like maybe the Lakers or something like that. You got Lonzo, you pair him up with Fletcher McGee.
Yeah, since everyone wants to
I think having a shooter,
if the Bucks could get him, that would be Lakers, nice for them.
That would be nice.
The Bucks don't really need an extra shooter though. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, the thing, the draft thing I was watching, it questioned his athleticism and his like his defense, his defensive effort, and his defense in general, like his intelligence on defense and his passing and rebounding.
You can't get enough shooters, though.
The Lakers are in need of some shooters.
They definitely are.
Yeah.
Because they really don't have any.
But they don't need to worry since they'll be getting every free agent this summer.
I don't know about that after this year.
According to Lakers fans.
Yeah. According to every Lakers fan.
Isn't that every offseason, though?
Yep. Every single one.
So, I think, James Wiseman, actually. So earlier this week, James Wiseman, the number one high school prospect in America, was named the Gatorade National Player of the Year for boys basketball. So he is still on his roll. He's kind of under the radar. This class is under the radar for next season. This guy's going to Memphis University. Should be a kind of a really good player next year. And that might be a team like a Murray State next year to actually go to the tournament and do some damage.
Yeah. All right. So.
Celtics?
Yes.
Want to do Celtics?
Sure. I will pull up some of their stats right now.
Yeah, so Celtics, they played the Nuggets a few nights ago. Isaiah Thomas, first game back.
He finally got that video.
He finally got his video tribute. Video tribute. Unfortunately, they lost that game. And they've been kind of on a skid since the game against Philadelphia too, as well. But before that, they were doing really well. They're kind of back on track in that way. But those two games, they're against hard teams. They're hard fought games.
They lost by 3 against Philadelphia, which is a team they have dominated this season. Obviously,
Marcus Smart.
Yeah. Marcus Smart getting ejected for shoving Joel Embiid.
After Embiid elbowed him and stared him down, which Marcus Smart didn't like at all and pushed him across the court.
Yeah, I did not like that Sixers game at all. Especially because they got more than 3 times as many free throws as the Celtics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Smart was ejected from the game. That was a big reason why the Celtics lost. Also, 76ers got a ton of free throws.
Especially Embiid, you got like 21.
Yeah, Smart was fined $50,000 for that, which I think might be a little excessive.
I wonder what all this NBA does with all this money, honestly.
I know, right? They probably just invested in.
They
can
say it's going one place or the other, but they're definitely using it for their own purposes.
Yeah.
The Celtics remain in that fifth spot for the Eastern Conference. They're one game back from the fourth spot, Indiana Pacers. And
stayed there despite Oladipo's injury.
Yeah, they did. They're staying constant. They're doing really well.
They're kind of like the Celtics were last season, and all their young players stepping up and really filling in for the injuries.
They'll be dangerous when Oladipo comes back next season.
Yeah,
not this season, but next season.
Yeah.
Also, Marcus Smart. So this actually came in today. Marcus Smart said he would push Joel Embiid again and that he was defending himself. If the situation came up, he would push Joel Embiid again. So I'm not sure.
I don't blame him.
I'm not sure how the NBA feels about him saying that.
Will
he get fined again?
I'm sure they're not too fond of it, but it's not awful. I mean,
yeah,
there's worse things that have gone through the media this season with the NBA.
And I feel like if Marcus Smart was to push him again, I feel like Joel Embiid wouldn't do anything back because Joel Embiid kind of is a crybaby. Just saying. He kind of is.
Yeah, he just wants to be able to talk to the media and make people angry.
Yeah.
And shoot Hulu commercials.
And shoot Hulu commercials. because Hulu has free sports, but we do too. So watch us instead.
Yeah. So Jimmer Fredette, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, signed a 2-year deal with the Phoenix Suns. Nice to see him back in the league after he played for 3 years in China,
which he averaged amazing points. He was a Stephon Marbury. He's a like god over in China since he went over there, and Jimmer Fredette went over there. He was a god over there. He hasn't been in the NBA since 2016. Finally coming back. I'm excited to see him. They have a 2-year deal for him, so they evidently
have plans for him. Plans in the future.
For him, yeah. And I think Jimmer, he's such a good shooter, and he's improved his game over there. And I think the guy will really contribute to the Suns. Maybe even a starting point guard down the line. Possibly.
I don't think so.
They have openings down there.
I feel like he's already 30. Yeah, he is 30. He's definitely not.
I mean, 2-year deal. He's there. Not. He's gonna be there for a little bit. He's there for a reason.
I think if they can work him into the rotation, having that combo of Jimmer and Devin Booker with DeAndre Ayton down low could be it's not going to bring you a championship, obviously.
And
but,
Josh Jackson's also there.
And Josh Jackson could be pretty deadly offensively. You have the two shooters. Josh Jackson's really good at attacking the rim.
And defense.
And yeah, DeAndre Ayton, who's obviously a post scorer and great defender.
All right, so do we want to move on to some soccer talk, or are we going to go to break here?
I think we can talk about some soccer
after the break.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back after the break.
Hello, welcome back from the break, and we have some breaking news came in literally as we stopped recording. Greg Monroe has signed a 10-day deal with the Boston Celtics.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's per Shams.
They re-signed him.
So that's pretty certified.
He was a key part of our defense last season in the playoffs and was very helpful. Definitely with rebounding and defensively, and he put up a couple points with layups down on the post doing some dirty work.
Yeah, he was an okay part of the team, but overall... all right. Overall, Monroe, he didn't have a ton of good effect, but he's a good player. A 10-day contract for the Celtics. You know, they're going to feel him out, see what he has, and he'll do well. We good here?
No. Again.
Okay, and that's our breaking news. So, on to soccer.
On to some soccer. The Premier League. What do you got on that, Alejandro?
Liverpool, I think, is ahead by 2 points, but they've played one more game than Manchester City.
Yes.
Let's go, correct.
So, we got Liverpool at 76, Manchester City at 74, and then 13 points separating second and third place. And as we mentioned last week, it's really just a run for the Champions League spots in third and fourth with Tottenham, Arsenal, Manchester United, and Chelsea all within 4 points of each other.
The two London clubs, Arsenal and Tottenham, are still holding on to the last Champions League spots, though. And Manchester City, I think, has a pretty relatively easy schedule. So, yeah, they're playing one of the worst teams in the league, who's in the relegation zone, Fulham, next week. So... I feel like they're easily going to win that. And, yeah, they won the last five, so they're going to be doing really well. It's up to Liverpool to keep their form up.
So just some recent games. We had Liverpool beating Fulham, Everton defeating Chelsea, which could have really hurt their run for that Champions League spot.
Yep.
We had no interesting games really the day before that.
Yeah.
And
also there were international friendlies today. And Colombia beat Japan 1-0 on a Falcao penalty. And England beat, I forgot who, 5-0, and Raheem Sterling scored a hat trick.
And USA also played against Ecuador.
England beat the Czech Republic.
Yep. And I am not. USA beat Ecuador 1-0.
Yassi Zardes goal in the 81st minute, so. There's that.
So, and then some top scorers in the Premier League. We have 18 goals from Sergio Aguero, 17 from Mohamed Salah, 17 from Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, 17 from Harry Kane, and 17 from Sadio Mane.
And 15 from Raheem Sterling, so it's getting really tight up there.
Eden Hazard has a... He's kind of fallen off with the goal scoring. Chelsea in general's kind of fallen off recently.
They started off really hot, and then they just got really cool. And now all the Chelsea fans just got mad at their manager, who they were praising and applauding and loving for the first half of the year. So it's been kind of fun to watch that happen.
And with the rumors of Eden Hazard going to Real Madrid.
Intensifying, yep.
Them, and they're really going to have to depend on Christian Pulisic to replace him. And we're not sure how the young star will take the pressure. And another Arsenal player in the top 10 for goal scoring in the Premier League, Alexander Lacazette, having a very impressive year.
Him and Aubameyang have been really good together as the strikers for Arsenal, the Europa League champions. Not really, but they're trying to.
So Lacazette and Aubameyang proving to be a very effective strike force together. And
the best you can ask for in the Europa League.
Yeah.
We actually have some more breaking news. So Duke University today in the March Madness bracket have beat 16 seed North Dakota State 85-62, moving on to face either UCF or VCU. That's your breaking news.
That's your Zion news.
That is your Zion news.
And I'm going to assume that everyone had that in their bracket. We had that,
I mean, I had Duke winning it, so that's
So
good signs.
I have moved out of first place in one of my bracket groups, and I am now tied for first place. And then in another group, I am tied for first place yet again, back into the runnings for that. Feeling good.
Look at Aiden doing good.
Doing well.
I am. I'm very happy. So, on to the Bundesliga.
All right, so the top of the news is obviously James Rodriguez scoring a hat trick again in Bayern 6-0, crushing the Mainz. Bayern dominated this game from the start to finish, as they kept up with Dortmund. Lewandowski scored in the third, and then James scored in the 33rd. Kingsley Coman scored in the 39th, and then James finished off his hat-trick with goals in the 51st minute and 55th. And then the Canadian youngster, Alphonso Davies, who was just with the Vancouver Whitecaps earlier this year in the MLS, who was like the highest profile, he's been the highest profile departure from the MLS, scored in the 70th minute, so that's going to be great for the MLS and Canadian.
Did you just say Canadian?
Yeah, he's a Canadian.
So, and he's playing in Bundesliga?
Yep, for Bayern.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's a big step for the MLS and Canadian soccer, which is going to give them a step up in their reputation. Although he got injured in that same game, so he's not going to be available for Canada's qualifying games or friendlies.
That's pretty good.
And the tables for the Bundesliga. We have Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund still tied with just goal differential separating them. And that's really the only race there because there's an 11-point gap between second and third place.
Yeah,
so it's really just a run between the two giants
of Germany. Dortmund's game to get those 3 points was crazy. They had a comeback against Hertha Berlin. Germany's a capital club. They came back from 1-0 first. They scored in the fourth, and then they tied it in the 14th, and then they scored in the 35th, and Dortmund tied in the 47th. Then they had a dramatic 92nd minute game winner from their captain, Marco Reus, to win the game and keep them on top of the table until Bayern beat Mainz and tied. But they needed those 3 points, and it was great for them to get it.
So actually, we have more breaking news. Houston, 3 seed, has beat 14 seed Georgia State 84-55.
Let's go.
29-point game. Yes, 29-point win for Houston. So they move on to face either Iowa State or Ohio State. That will be decided at 9:50 tonight.
That's what I needed.
On March 22nd.
I had them going.
Really help them out my bracket.
Yep.
Yeah.
I am enjoying this. Still in joint first place in both of those groups. All right.
So brackets all working out?
Yes.
Also, Mississippi State, 5 seed, has taken a 59-53 lead over 12 seed Liberty with 8:24 left in the second half.
So it's still tight. They still have a chance of winning it.
Yeah, but they're starting to pull away a little bit.
And later tonight, we'll see VCU versus UCF, Virginia Tech versus St. Louis, and those are the games.
North Carolina versus Iona.
Yeah.
I think North Carolina winning that thing.
Same. I think everybody does.
So, Aiden Hazard has been very, how do I put it?
Heavily linked with Real Madrid.
Yes. So, he has made multiple statements on his exit from Chelsea. He has made it seem like Real Madrid is the place he wants to end up, and Real Madrid certainly looking to get him to replace Ronaldo, as they are still looking for a replacement.
Almost a year later.
Especially because Vinicius, he hurt himself, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Big blow to Real Madrid there. Vinicius was a key distributor for that team, and
he was heating up, and then he was getting all the goals and assists, and then he just went oopsies.
Big oops.
Exactly.
Neymar has been also been targeted by Real Madrid, and it seems like Real Madrid has been looking to make multiple big signings this season. Not sure where this money is coming from. They are a very rich club.
Obviously, they're a really very rich club. And they got relinked with a lot of clubs after they rehired Zinedine Zidane. And they were
definitely
multiple,
a big draw for multiple players.
Yeah, there was multiple rumors that the club's president and owner, Florentino Perez, was just like, he promised him a bigger transfer budget so that they could re-sign him. Because he was the great manager, and he led them to 3 Champions League and a league win.
Mm.
In his time there. So, like, he won 3 Champions League in his three seasons as a manager. And then he left. But then they offered him more, must have offered him more money and a bigger transfer budget, so he came back.
Paul Pogba even said that it would be a dream to play for under Zidane at Real Madrid. And he's at Manchester United at the time. So.
It does not seem like Pogba is one of the big targets, as Real Madrid doesn't really need a midfielder. They need attackers. Seeing that they have Modric and Cruz.
Modric is getting a little old, yeah. He's like
Modric is 33. Has struggled since winning the Ballon d'Or. But Mbappe has been a target for Zidane as well. Zidane stating that he would love to work with Mbappe. And it doesn't seem like Mbappe wants to leave PSG. It seems like he's pretty content staying there. But obviously,
I would be too with the salaries they give him. They give him
but obviously, still a target, seeing how young he is and talented he is, and the numbers he's already putting up as a teenager.
Yeah, he's like the second highest scorer in Europe right now. Obviously, they're taking into consideration that he's in the French league, which is a very easy league, and Paris Saint Germain, which is the team he plays for, dominates every single season in the richest club. So, obviously, I take that into consideration. But he's obviously very talented. And, so obviously, Real Madrid wants him. But PSG, what will keep them really badly.
Yeah, especially if Neymar goes. So it seems like Real Madrid will most likely be getting one of the two PSG stars, or is at least targeting to get one of the two. And seeing that Neymar left Barcelona to get out of Messi's shadow, he's now gone into Mbappe's shadow, so that may be a reason for him transferring to Real Madrid to stay out of someone's shadow, although he might be going straight into another person's shadow.
Yep. In a Real Madrid, in a poll by a Real Madrid news in a Madrid-based newspaper, Marca, which is a very big newspaper in Spain, especially relating to soccer, they had a poll asking Real Madrid fans who they wanted, and 79% said Mbappe would be their dream summer signing. So Real Madrid fans would love him there. So
I'm sure anybody would. Really,
yeah.
Very talented, very young, shows so much potential.
And that's over the top, because 200,000 people were surveyed, and 79% was in Mbappe. So that's like an overwhelming majority.
And he is the next young superstar in soccer.
Yep.
I'm sure Real Madrid will probably end up setting another transfer fee record trying to acquire some of these players. Inflation in
today's market.
And if they do end up getting Mbappe, it will probably be somewhere around $400 million or something crazy like that.
Yeah, probably. It's kind of crazy though. Players are getting closer to that half a billion.
That type of Mike Trout money.
Yeah.
You're going to get them for that. So I guess we're going to move on to some NFL.
Well, I have some one last soccer thing.
You want to go soccer?
Yeah, okay. I don't know if there's many, like, how reliable it is, especially in the soccer media, especially considering, you know, transfer reports. But I saw a Dybala-Icardi swap between Juventus, the best team in Italy, and Inter Milan, one of their biggest rivals and a historically very good club. While this might not be true, like, I don't know how true it is, it'd be very interesting to see that. Icardi's a box striker.
He's definitely more proven, but Dybala shows much more promise.
Yeah, he's more of a in-the-box striker who doesn't really do much besides, like, finish off goals. He's like a finisher. And Dybala is more like an attacking midfielder and more creative and shoots longer shots and stuff. But Dybala has not had a good season behind Ronaldo at all, especially he's been pushed out to the wing. He's been awful there. Not awful, but awful for his standards. And he doesn't seem to be loving it. So this has been suggested by the Italian media, I guess. And it'd be interesting to see Icardi and Ronaldo on the same team, especially because Ronaldo's evolved into a number nine, basically a finisher in his in the recent years. So it'd be interesting to see them together. But yeah.
All right. So now on to the NFL. We have some
signings.
Some more signings to go through. One I definitely want to talk about is the Colts signing Justin Houston.
Yeah, so the Colts have been really quiet during free agency, surprisingly, because they have so much cap space, so much draft picks, they can do a lot.
Finally making a move.
Yeah, Adam Schefter actually reported that the Colts were trying to trade for Dee Ford, but they didn't want to give up a second, evidently, because the 49ers outbid them for that, and they couldn't get Dee Ford. So they go for the next best thing, which I think is probably a better player, a little older. I would have rather had Dee Ford, but a better player overall. They signed Justin Houston, outside linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, to a two-year, $24 million deal. That's a pretty good signing for them. Their linebacker core gets upgraded. Darius Leonard, the rookie, gets a really nice leader, one of the best linebackers in the whole entire NFL, to teach him. It's a two-year, $12 million deal. They have the money to spend. They have been really quiet. I think this is the only signing I can really recall from them this year. So that's pretty good for them. Also, some more signings. Bruce Irvin signed a one-year deal with the Panthers, defensive end. You know, he's kind of faded out a little bit, but you know, it's whatever signing there. Cowboys signed Randall Cobb, one of the best remaining wide receivers in the wide receiver market, to a one-year, $5 million deal. That's a good addition for them. They have him with Allen Hurns.
He is old and does struggle with injuries, but definitely a solid slot receiver, which they were definitely in need of.
Yeah. It's a nice – they don't have, like, one standout star besides for Amari Cooper, but they have Amari Cooper now, Randall Cobb, Tavon Austin, and Allen Hurns once he comes back from that injury. So it's a nice little wide receiver core there for Dak Prescott, and they can definitely open up Ezekiel Elliott to have more running yards with this nice wide receiver core. So the Cowboys are something to look out for. Robert Griffin III, who was the backup in Baltimore this season, he signed back with Baltimore. That's good for Baltimore because once Lamar Jackson kind of flames out, I think he will. They'll have RG3 in there who can throw, and he can do everything Lamar Jackson can with throwing. So I think RG3 could actually be a good potential start for them. Another under-the-radar signing. The Raiders signed Mike Glennon to replace backup A.J. McCarron after he was released, oddly, but they signed Mike Glennon. So one thing I want to bring up, the Cardinals, who have been favored to draft Kyler Murray, number one overall. They didn't meet with him at the combine or anything like that, but they decided to meet with Kyler Murray at Oklahoma, just at Oklahoma, like just a regular meet. That's per the Houston Chronicle. So apparently they do have interest. Obviously, it's going to be interesting to see the Cardinals Kyler Murray situation. It's really odd what's going on there right now, but I think Kyler's a done deal over there. What do you think?
Yeah. I really don't have much to say about that.
Yeah, done deal. So some more news. It's Tyreek Hill. So this is kind of an interesting tidbit that I heard about Tyreek Hill. So Tyreek Hill, last week we reported that he was under investigation for alleged battery against his son, presumably, I believe. We're not good at all. But even before that, Tyreek Hill, his name came up in trade talks, apparently.
I'm really questioning some of the Chiefs' moves this offseason.
Yeah, they've basically destroyed their defense, and now they're trying to get rid of one of their biggest weapons. This is before they knew about the alleged battery. So I don't really know what they're trying to do. Are they trying to rebuild? Like, they had a perfect core around there.
Or do you think they might have been hinted that this happened before it came out to the media and been trying to get rid of him before people found out?
It's a possibility, but from what I'm hearing is that insiders are saying even before they knew.
Okay.
So, I mean, that could be a possibility, but we're not really sure yet. And even now, after his name coming up for alleged battery, his trade value is going to go down, and they might even trade him now. Because if they were going to trade him without that, they definitely probably will with him. So, with it. So
Washington beat Utah State.
Okay. So, Washington, what's the score on that one?
78-61.
All right. So, that's a little bit of an upset. Good game for Washington.
I expected them to win just because I'm a fan, but, you know. It was looking good.
Yeah. I just guessed them.
All right, back to Tyreek Hill. So Tyreek Hill, trade talks. I think, as I said, Colts are always a good destination and things like that. Colts are perfect destination. Jets possibly around there. Yeah. Patriots could be a good situation to go to for him. A lot of places, Texans, things like that. I think Colts are place to look for. Pairing him up with T.Y. Hilton, use that cap space, give him a big contract if that battery is not true, which I think it possibly could based off of his history. So another also interesting thing, Julio Jones is closing the Falcons and Julio Jones. This is kind of interesting because the Falcons really haven't been good, and paying Julio with their limited cap space, it's a little questionable. But Julio Jones and the Falcons are closing in on a 4 or 5 year extension, not sure yet, that would pay $20 million a year. So right now, Julio's trying to cash in on Antonio Brown extensions, Odell's contract.
How old is Julio Jones?
Things like that. I think he's about to hit 30, but I think he's in his prime. He's about in his mid-20s. Well, his late 20s. He's around there. But Julio, still a great wide receiver. I think he's the best wide receiver in the game. He's closing in on a 4 or 5 year extension. Should be interesting. I really don't think that's the best move. I think moving Julio out of Atlanta possibly would be the best idea because I don't see Atlanta really becoming that team unless they make some major moves.
And they have a decent backup in Calvin Ridley behind them.
They do. They have a nice pairing there, but I think a rebuild would be the best for them. I could be wrong, but, you know, it is what it is. So now on to baseball. We're going to cover baseball for the first time this week. We got some big things going on in baseball. So earlier this week, Mike Trout was reported to sign a 12-year, $430 million contract.
Securing the bag.
Securing the bag, indeed. He took home the money and just was a great, great, great player for the Angels. It's a little questionable. The Angels aren't really going anywhere without Ohtani and Mike Trout and guys like that.
And it broke Bryce Harper's record for the biggest contract literally like a week after
he Yeah, so Harper, pretty awkward for him. He had $330 million, I believe, right?
Yeah.
$330. He signed that, and then Mike Trout comes up and gets $100 more million dollars instead, which is crazy. So Mike Trout certifying that he's the best player in the game of baseball, gets that contract. A little questionable for the Angels. You know, they locked him up, so Phillies rumors are out of the room now. Very interesting. I think the Angels really aren't going to go anywhere.
I think the Angels, they're just trying to secure that they have one person for a long amount of time to build their franchise around as they start to rebuild.
Yeah, they need to get pieces around, but in 12 years, they have enough time to put pieces in the
doing that is always a good choice, especially like in different sports. Like if you have a player that you know is going to be there, you can say,
"Yeah,
look, we have this player and he's going to be here long term."
It's like definitely going to attract free agents.
You don't have to worry about him leaving. That attracts free agents. Because when you have like a good player, you don't have to worry about leaving.
And next up, so these are a lot of like extensions and rumors that we're getting. So the Cardinals are close to a 5-year, $110 million deal with Paul Goldschmidt. So that's a little downgrade. You know, Paul Goldschmidt's not as good of a player, but I'm surprised he's not demanding like $200 million around there. He was a great player for the Diamondbacks, went to the Cardinals now. 5 years, $110 million. Good job by the Cardinals locking him up, the first baseman. And he power hitter. He can be a power hitter in the lineup for a long time. So good job there. And now some news from the championship Boston Red Sox. Chris Sale, star pitcher of the 2018 World Series championship team, has signed a 5-year, $145 million contract with the Red Sox to stay there. And now with Nathan Eovaldi and Chris Sale and guys like that, they have a great, great young core. And they're going to be really good for the time to come.
All right. So
right now, Mississippi State is actually losing to Liberty in this tight game, which Aiden and I have been following for this last few minutes. It's been like the biggest differential I've seen is like 5 points. So it's been tight the whole time. But now Liberty, the 12th seed, has come back and are leading by 2 right now with 2:34 left.
What's the score on that?
67-69.
Ooh, that's not good.
Not Liberty. Good, because I have Mississippi State beating them.
I actually have more breaking news as well, coming from baseball. So we were just talking about a pitcher signing earlier earlier today. Now we have Justin Verlander, who's an older pitcher, one of the best pitchers in the game right now. The Astros are close to giving Justin Verlander a 2-year, $66 million deal. So he's going to stay with Houston. That's per MLB.com, pretty reliable. So Justin Verlander getting the cheddar. so that's that for baseball. All right, and I think that's going to be it for the Sports Report podcast. We'll see you next week. Have a nice day, and we're out.